Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are here to do something wonderful with your life? Do you feel that call deep inside you to bring your sacred healing gifts and transformational knowledge to the world around you? Do you want to feel inspired as you build your business doing your beautiful work? Do you want to learn how to build a successful spiritual business? Well then, you're invited to listen in to the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show, where we explore how fun and easy it can be to build a strong, abundant business while at the same time staying deeply connected to the divine using your intuition, your own sixth sense. Join the irreverent Reverend Ann Presswell as she and her guests explore the many ways you can build a deeply connected, authentic, powerful spiritual business making money without feeling like you've sold your soul. You are here to get your gifts out to the world in a powerful, abundant way, and your people are waiting for you. Let's help them find you. Now, here's your host, Reverend Ann Presswell.
Well, hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the show. We are so glad you're here. Hello, Elizabeth. I know you're there. You put yourself on mute. We were having some feedback issues right before we started. So we have a special guest today, Chris Prochaska, who is someone I've known for several years, and I'm very excited to have her here on the show sharing her unique knowledge. I'll introduce her in just a moment, but right now I'd like for all of us to just take a nice deep breath in, get very present to what our intention is here for this show today, to gain clarity, to gain understanding, to learn how to speak our truths even more powerfully, to understand how we are unique, how we can get our own spiritual gifts out into the world, a world that's hungry for us, that is waiting for us, that is looking for that transformation, that guidance, that help, because they have forgotten, not all of them, obviously, but some have forgotten who they are, who they truly are, and we hold the space for them to step into that remembrance of their trueness, of their truth, of that connection with the divine. And so we say thank you, thank you, thank you, and so it is. Chris Prochaska is someone I met several years ago when we took a class together. She was once upon a time a therapist. She is now a coach and a consultant, and Chris uses her intuition, which I absolutely love, you know, this whole world of intuition. But she balances it with her clinical skills and her knowledge of human design and Akashic Record soul design, helping entrepreneurs gain clarity, gain courage, gain conviction. These are the hallmarks of thought leadership and successful mindset, as we all well know, because if you don't have the courage and the conviction to stand in who you are and what you're bringing to the world, you have a very difficult time doing so. So Chris brings compassion, her irreverence, which I totally love, yay. And she helps hundreds of women learn to calm those little voices in their head, the fear, the doubt, the shame. And they learn how to listen to and speak from and create a lifestyle business that's in alignment with that inner voice. She's the author of Life Well Spoken, Free Your Inner Voice and Prosper. So I want to welcome Chris. I'm so glad you're here. Hello, hello, hello. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic, Anne. And it's just, I was saying earlier, it's so wonderful to hear your voice again. It's been way too long, and I just feel so grateful to be here. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. I'm thrilled you're here. It has been it's been way too long, way too long. And last time we talked, you were wanting to create your book. You've not only created it, but now you've like completely stepped into who you are as a coach.
Yeah.
That is so powerful. So tell me what's been going on the last couple of years and how you did this, you know, this big transition and brought your book out into the world. I just want to catch up with you first before we go all into, you know, like what you're going to talk about today.
Yeah, you know what? Let's do that, because I think that it actually will tie in really well, because we are talking about having a spiritual business here, right? And we're talking about listening to your intuition and what that really means. And a lot of what I talk about in the book is, where do we get tripped up? Where do we not listen to our intuition, and why, and what happens, and how do you discern between fear and your intuition? And so, I was actually in your mastermind. You were my first coach, and it was interesting because I don't know if you remember, Anne, but I had just come out of working with someone around intuition, and they were very fear-based, and they had really kind of messed with my head, actually. I was still really sussing out my intuition, how do I listen to it, and a lot of the things that I had learned through working with this person was really valuable, but a lot of it was very fear-based, and so when you and I met, I was a little like, oh, gosh, I don't know if I can trust my intuition, you know, and I don't even know if I can really, you know, what is this, right?
Right.
And you gave this really great, really great container for it. So long story short, we went to your my first mastermind retreat with you, and I don't know if you remember, but I was in total breakdown. And was just
you weren't
like
the only
little,
one.
Oh yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Those little voices. I didn't know what they were then, but they were those little voices of fear and doubt and shame. And they feel like when you're about to step into something very powerful, they are the ones that freak out. And I don't know if you remember, but standing in the hallway, you had us, you know, step across the threshold, you know, when we were really ready to fully commit to our business. And I was the last one standing in the hallway. I was, you know, I was really taking my time. And you were so patient watching me wait, you know, and I was fine up to that point. I step across the line and make this, you know, like, okay, I'm all in. And I will never forget the look on your face and the feeling that I had and this sense of like, oh, shit, what have I just done? <You know? laughs> And, of course, then I went into breakdown. And I'm glad I did. But on the way home from that, you know, I went through breakdown and then stuck with it. I mean, I really stayed with it. And then on the way home, that's when this entire book just got downloaded. I mean, literally, it was like I couldn't write fast enough the outline of the chapters, and it changed, the name of it changed over time, but it's been a big process of writing that. And what's been so cool is that I recently started rereading my book, so I finished it, published it, it's been out since December. And I picked it up last month and started reading again because I don't know if you've written anything and then you go back to read it, you're just like, oh, God, if I read that one more time, I'm going to puke. I've, you know, read it so many times because
I edited it, right? Yeah.
And so I picked it up and I was like, oh, my God, this is really good. And I had this feeling of, like, I wrote this book for me, for my future self, because I knew that there would be times when I'd be afraid again.
Mm-hmm.
When I'd lose that sense of my inner voice, when those little voices would be louder. And I picked the book up and I started reading just not only my own story, which was kind of interesting to read it from a different perspective, but the stories of other women that are in the book. And it was like, oh, that's right. That's right.
Mm.
And it was such a cool experience. But writing a book changes you, and it was like putting that stake in the ground of, this is what I'm all about, and this is what I stand for, and now how do I live that? How do I step into living that every day? So
I am so inspired by that, because I have a book in me that's been wanting to come out for a while, and I've just been like, I'll get to it. But, you know, I'm busy, you know. And it's been showing up over the last number of months that it's time. It's time. And I'm like, really? You know, I've got other things I got to do. Really? And then on the other hand, it's like, yeah, I really want to, you know. So I'm curious, and I noticed that I see Marisa's on the line, and Marisa's just not on the line, but she's in the studio here. No, sorry. She's listening in, and Marisa's just finishing up her book, too. She's asked me to write the foreword to her book, which I feel very honored about. So, you know, I am very curious to know, just as a little aside, What is this process? I love that you said it was like your future you writing it for you, because that's connecting in, and thank you for that. That's just a brilliant piece of gold right there, like connecting in with that piece, that future me or future whomever, if you know, if you're listening, your future you, and having her give you guidance on what to do and what to remember. Yeah. And you're in an altered state, I'm sure, when you're writing it. Are you not?
Yeah, I would say, and yes, definitely an altered state, and yet not in that way of, I'm a very practical person, right? Like, I love my woo-woo. I love it. But when I start to think of altered states, I start to think of, like, you know, Timothy Leary.
No, you know what I mean? I'm all about being grounded while you're in, connected to the divine.
Absolutely.
100%. But that doesn't mean that you're going to remember everything even after you've written it, even after you've reviewed it.
Exactly.
You said, right? You've come back to it now and you're like, yeah, that's right. Oh, this is good, right?
It's good.
Yeah.
And that is true. It's that altered state of calling. I mean, this is what we do with our clients too, right? I mean, we say, where do you want to go, and how, and helping them to get that vision for themselves, right? They connect in with it, they are excited, and they go, okay, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And almost immediately, we forget.
Yeah.
And I think we're really designed in some way, this human condition is we are kind of designed to forget. Now, at the same time, we're also designed to remember. And we just have competing voices in our head, ones that want us to forget and our inner voice that wants us to remember, that always remembers. And the more we can connect in and write from that place and speak from that place and create from that place, the more we will pull ourselves and others forward and create that new reality. The problem is, or the challenge is that those little voices of fear, doubt, shame, guilt, criticism, judgment, they are also very loud. I call them little voices because they make us feel small, but they're actually very loud. They're sometimes louder than our inner voice. And so, that altered state is of really connecting in with that inner voice, that place of, like, this is the ideal. And when I say ideal, I don't mean in that sort of fantasy land, but the ideal of, this is love.
Mm-hmm.
This is pure. It is holy.
Yeah.
And when you're speaking from that place and creating from that place, the vibration is so high. And, you know, and then life happens and stuff happens and Facebook happens and whatever, and you forget, you know?
Yes.
And then it's helpful to have those reminders. And so every time I write a blog post or an article or, you know, a book, I'm always in that altered state, writing not just for other people, but for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that if you do that, it's so much easier to write a book. If you try to write this book or anything where you're like trying to speak to everybody or whatever, it just dilutes it, it waters it down, and it just doesn't land. But I've had so many people say, "Oh my God, this is exactly what I needed to hear." And it's like, yeah, that's exactly what I needed to hear too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote that.
Yeah, I totally get that. Okay, so talk about the three C's that, you know, clarity, courage, and conviction. Because I remember you working on those three when we were working together. Those were the, like, the big ones that you, like you said, you know, just planted your, I call it planting your flag, right? You're just like, these are mine, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm about. Boom.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. How should someone, where do they even start? You know, what do they focus on first? You know, clarity? Do they, you know, courage? You know, like, where do they go?
Well, it's like this beautiful little trifecta, right? I mean, they all intertwine. One affects the other. When you have clarity, it's easier to have courage. And when you have courage, you build conviction, right? When you have conviction, you know, the clarity, it just, you're so much clearer, right? And you're just more courageous. I mean, so they all intertwine. But I would say the place to start and the place that really made the difference for me and makes a difference for my clients is around clarity. Because it's hard to go out there and have courage and have that conviction if you're not sure what the hell you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, if you're really not clear, it's like you can be really courageous, but you just go out there and say whatever, and it doesn't land, and it doesn't connect. And if you're like me, you know, the reason, again, I talk about clarity, courage, and conviction is because these are the things that I have struggled with the most. And in my business, and my clients have. And when I really started seeing that, you know, I could spend a lot of time, let's say tapping, right? I could spend hours on my couch trying to build up the courage to share. But if I wasn't sure what I was going to share about, it didn't matter how much tapping I did, right?
For real.
So, yeah. And so then there would be that piece of, okay, well, I could get the clarity. But if I didn't, you know, have that conviction of really believing that this is something that is valuable and it makes sense and it's practical and useful and other people want it, then it would be really, again, really hard to go out and share it. So I always start with clarity first, because when you really get clear, like, who am I? What do I stand for? What do I want? And I say, you know, I heard this statistic once that kind of floored me. It was like 85% of adults don't know what their purpose is. They don't know what their life purpose is. That's a lot of people who are walking around who are not really sure why the heck they're here.
That's a lot of people.
Isn't it? That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of confusion.
It's a lot of confusion. It is. And we spend, I mean, I know myself, I've spent tens of thousands of dollars just trying to get clear, and lots of different processes and lots of different, you know, fits and starts and looking at different business models and going, okay, well, it worked for that person. How come it's not working for me?
Let's talk about that, because you just brought up something that I think is so important, and that is to define what clarity is, because you know, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking about, I mean, I did the same thing. I spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to get clear and understanding, like, what my business looks like and getting the training, getting the understanding, getting the, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
And ultimately, and that was all incredibly helpful, incredibly.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it without it. No question about it. It was so incredibly valuable. And ultimately it came back to me trusting my own intuition, but once I got the skills, right? So once I got clarity, right, some skills and understanding what the heck it was I was doing, like, you know, what am I doing out here and how to do it? But I also think that conviction, when I didn't know squat about building a business, I started with this conviction that tapping made a huge difference in my life.
Right. Right.
Like, it just completely transformed my life. And that tapping then gave me the courage to go out and talk about it, and I still didn't have much clarity other than, hey, this thing is awesome and it can help you. You know, that's all I had as far as clarity. Like, that was, you know, 15 years ago. So, like, they really are very so intertwined.
Yeah, totally intertwined. And, again, it really does depend on the person, right? Because I have some people, and it does, it starts with that conviction. They just go, oh, my gosh, all I know is this works, and I just want to share it with everybody. And then it becomes the discerning, how do I best share it with people so they can hear it?
Yes.
Right? Because we've all met people who are just like absolute, you know, they're all about, you know, like vehemently about whatever, passionate that, you know, whatever it is they have is the next best thing.
Right.
Life,
right.
Life, bread. And we go, wow, that's great. You have all that passion, but like you're cramming it down my throat.
Right.
And so nobody can really receive it. And so there's, right, we want to take that and go, okay, how do, so it is, I guess it does, the clarity piece. The when I say clarity, that is, it's like which one of those three is lacking for you. So for the first question of clarity is, which one of those are you, you know, the if you have this perfect trifecta, which one of them is kind of shorter, a shorter leg than the other ones? And so which one do we need to build up first? And then let's say for you, that's that first piece, like you have the conviction and you just want to share it, you're super excited about it, but then it comes down to, well, who am I going to share this with? And what is it that I'm really passionate about? And how do I best do that?
Right, right.
Where do I invest my money? Where do I, you know, how do I make decisions? How do I, because, you know, our intuition, it actually speaks to us in different ways.
And
we're designed differently to listen to it. And I'm saying that design is, you know, mentioning human design, is that there's different ways that we tap into that. And when you know how to discern between your fear and your intuition, and you know how you're designed to make decisions, then it becomes a lot easier to know, you know, where to move next and what to do.
Yeah, it does. And I also think that that probably goes right into alignment with how you are a genius at the marketing that you do. It, like, in other words, some people are genius at speaking, right? Some people are genius at networking. Some people are genius at bringing together community. You know, so it really, there's so many different methods. So it's really along the same lines, right? So what are you super good at? What do you love to do? How do you, how are you? And that's where the confidence and the clarity and conviction come into also. Because you can't, you know, you can't be that leader unless you know what you're really good at, what your genius is.
It's true.
Would you say that's true?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. And not only that, it's like, oh, gosh, owning it. So I talk about in my book, you know, that there's a big, okay, so a lot, I'll have a lot of people come and they'll do human design readings with me. And I tell them, I say, I'm probably not going to tell you anything that's like, oh, my God, I didn't know that about myself, right? I mean, every once in a while, there'll be like huge ahas. And it's usually not so much that it's a huge aha of what I'm describing about them. It's more, that's, it just feels more validating. Right. If there's a big aha, it's usually in that they have a misperception of how to use, say, integrity. And they've been beating themselves up with integrity versus really understanding what integrity is. So, so that's usually where the ahas are. But it's like, oh, yeah, that is me. That is totally me. And so their work becomes owning it, owning their unique genius. So as an example, you know, I used to have a fear of speaking. And when you and I first started working together, that's what I did with people. I had a fear of speaking. I overcame it through energy work, through tapping. And I started helping people with finding their voice and speaking and communicating. And that evolved into this whole other way of really understanding how we communicate energetically, first and foremost, and then also going on to do more speaking and realizing that every time I go speak, I always attract new clients and always it just works really well for me. And so, interestingly enough, when I went and had my human design reading, you know, my chart done, it's like all about communication, all about storytelling. I never saw myself as a storyteller, but that was naturally, I'm designed to be a storyteller. So not only is it what we are passionate about, what we love to do, what we're excited about, what our experience is, it's also in our design. And when you follow your design, then it makes it so much easier to figure out how to connect with people. I have a lot of people that show up who are, I call them reluctant leaders. They're like, God, I know I need to be leading in my life, and people are looking to me to be a leader, but you know, I'm not really sure I'm cut out for that.
Hmm.
And we look at their chart, and it's like you actually have all these leadership channels. You are, you know, people come to you because energetically they can see that you are a leader, that you have an energy about you that just shows that you can see the bird's eye view, that you can see what other people cannot see, that you are a born guide and leader. And it's time to start owning that. And then that becomes the work, and they get that courage and that conviction right away just from knowing that about themselves and owning it. When we do the soul design reading, it's looking at, you know, what are you designed at the soul level to do? You know,
did we lose you? Oh, I think we lost her. Can you guys hear her?
We've just lost Chris. Chris, can you call back in, please?
Oh, dear. Let me just send her a note. Let's see if she notices. Well, in the meantime...
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, here I am.
Here you are.
That was weird.
That was weird. The phone just rang. That's so funny. All right. Well, you were talking about soul design. Can you go back into that? Do you remember where you were?
Yeah.
Before we left you.
Yeah. So soul design is that looking at, so in the Akashic record, right, this is the record of our soul, and there's a part of that that I look at, which is where, how were you designed? What divine energy were you designed to, you know, that you were created in when you individuated as a soul from source, right? We're all still connected to source, but we're individual souls. And each of us has a divine energy that we have as a primary. And we, and, you know, there's eight of them. And people usually have one or sometimes two that are primary. And what's really cool is when we look at their soul design, and then blend it with human design, because human design is how we're designed in this lifetime as a human being to express spirit, to express our inner voice. That's how I describe it. And our soul design is who are we designed to be over lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
So you blend the two together. And what I was talking about is that I know for myself that when I learned, oh, I am in divine self-expression, it's all about writing, it's all about words, it's all about speaking, and it's like, oh.
Makes sense, that, right?
It makes sense, and it starts to be like, okay, you know what? All these other things that I'm doing in my business, trying to follow this person or that strategy,
aren't working.
Aren't working, because I need to do it this way, because this is my divine truth.
Interesting, that's fascinating. Right? So basically, that has saved you a whole lot, well, not ahead of time, but after a while.
Yes.
No, Elizabeth just said, has she done this for you? I'm like, no, she hasn't. I'm sitting here going, oh, this looks so interesting. How do you do
yes.
this?
It's so fascinating.
Is it a long process to do something
like
this?
No, it's not. You know, I do it as a like a virtual VIP day, because it's really, I do a human design reading, a full human design reading, and then I do a full Akashic record reading where, you know, and then blend the two and then have a couple coaching sessions afterwards that say,
that's
okay,
fascinating.
Look, here's what we learned at the soul level. Here's how you're expressing it in the human design. And then based on your business model, here is, you know, what you can do to actually make just slight tweaks in what you're doing to help that energy flow more easily. Because when you're in alignment there with those three things, your business model and your human design and your soul design, then it makes it so much, it's just streamlined. Then you can look at a program and go, is this what I need right now? Is this in alignment? Is this going to help
me?
You know?
Right.
Or not. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's fascinating.
Cool.
That's okay, so... I'm like totally intrigued. I want to talk about the internal leadership team while we have time.
Let's talk about that.
We did?
No, I said let's talk about it.
Oh, okay,
sure.
Okay. I was going to say, okay. Because, you know, when you talk about the internal leadership team, I'm thinking divine team, right? So it's like it's kind of this, I don't know. Maybe it's the same thing, maybe it's not. But who is on it? How do they help us or how do they not help us? And are there ones on our leadership team that do not help us?
Yes, absolutely.
Ooh!
So I know, yeah. So let's talk about this.
Bad team members.
Yeah, bad team members. Bad, they're not playing nice. So first I want to give a little bit of a context here. So, you know, I used to be a therapist. I did a lot of energy healing, a lot of energy work, and I still do that. I love that stuff. I still tap. I actually helped my husband prepare for a 100-mile mountain bike race using tapping the other day, and he killed
it. I saw that on Facebook. I was like, oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I love it, right? I mean, it's such a powerful way to get in there. And I saw that I spent a lot of time for myself and sometimes with my clients where I was focusing on fixing what I call those little voices, and I'm going to describe who they are in just a moment. But when I could kind of shift the attention away and focus on my inner voice more and stop, quote-unquote, fixing and instead open up a clearer pathway for me to listen to my inner voice, that's when things really started to shift.
Love that.
For myself and my business. So but first you have to figure out who the hell are you listening to, right?
So this is
why I say here, let's look at this internal leadership team, because when you can discern who it is that's playing in any given moment, then you know what you need to do. So imagine that you have like this boardroom, and you're sitting in this boardroom, and you can close your eyes if you're not driving, and you just picture this table in front of you, and you're at one end of the table, and then there's people around the table. And on either side of the table, I call these guys the middle managers or the little voices, right? So they're an unruly bunch. They are always, you know, they're constantly trying to manage everything. And they are looking to get three things, right? They're looking to get love, security, and self-esteem. How do they do that? They do that through looking good, staying safe, and fitting in no matter what.
Yeah.
Every decision they make is about how am I going to look good, how am I going to stay safe, how will I fit in?
And they're all ego guys.
It's all
totally ego.
Guys,
ego.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, we spend a lot of time and millions and billions of dollars trying to fix these guys. They can't be fixed. They're always there. They're part of they're just part of it.
Uh-huh.
And when I look at human design, I can see, I'm like, hey, here's your genius. Here's your amazing gift, and here's the challenge in it. In other words, here's the lower vibrational state of how it's going to show up in your design. And it's not something to fix. It's something to be aware of and discern and go, oh, there's those little voices kicking in here, and they're playing the game. I'm going to choose something else, right?
Uh-huh.
So they're trying to get love, security, self-esteem. And they'll do anything to get it. Now, in the short term, this works. It's very effective. But it has diminishing returns. So over time, any of those choices that you made to look good, stay safe, and fit in the moment are going to actually come back and bite you in the butt later.
In my head, they're going to bite you in the ass, maybe.
Yep, they're going to totally.
That's it.
Right. So then we look at across the table, directly across from us. I call this our most trusted advisor, right? Mm. And this is our inner voice. And our higher self, our soul, God, and it speaks to us through our intuition.
Mm.
And this voice knows the next best step for us. It knows what to say. It knows who to connect with. And when you walk into a networking event, it scans the room, knows exactly who you need to approach, what to say to them.
Yeah.
Right? When you're in a sales conversation and you're coming from your inner voice, you're coming from love and service.
Yeah.
And when you're in a sales conversation and you're coming from those little voices, as soon as the person that you're talking to, when their little voice shows up, if you're not careful, your little voice will show up. Right? And so we mirror each other.
Nope, never had that happen.
Yeah, never happened. No, that never happens, right? never. I don't know what you're talking about. So a really clear way to understand our most trusted advisor, our inner voice, is that it's not trying to get love, security, and self-esteem.
Yeah.
It is love. It is security. It is self-esteem. And I really like to make this further distinction. It doesn't know that you're worthy of love, and it doesn't know that you're safe. It actually is the vibrational state of love.
Yeah.
It is the vibrational state of knowing without a doubt that nothing can harm you.
Yeah.
And it is that self-esteem that just knows in that moment, and in the moment that you're connected to it, right, because we forget, that you are worthy and mm-hmm. that what you have to offer the world is important and valuable.
Mm.
And when you speak and when you focus more on connecting to that voice, that inner voice, and focusing your energy there, things shift very quickly, and they shift without having to do a lot of work around it.
Mm.
You know? And so
I feel so soothed even just with you talking about it. I just want to sink on into that right now. Like my energy just feels very peaceful as you're talking about it, because you're accessing, you know, that connection just energetically. We're talking about it, so we're accessing the connection to it right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's such a powerful place. And it's really challenging to live there all the time. Because, again, you know, we go to Facebook. And I'm sorry. I'm going to probably take you.
Please, I get annoyed
nice
with
place,
people.
Right?
Come on.
But,
I mean, we're real.
Yeah.
We're in human form. We get annoyed with people.
We do. Or we
you
get,
know?
Yeah, or compare and despair, all of that. And as soon as you notice those things coming up, you'll know in that moment that you just went into the little voice and those
whatever. Whatever.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Well, buggers. So, and then immediately you could be spiraling and go, oh my gosh. And then go, oh, okay, I got to clear all this stuff. And I would say, yes, there are times to clear. Like if this is a long-standing pattern, and that's why I love the Akashic Record work, because like if you go, okay, this just does not seem to clear no matter what I do with it. Then we go to the Akashic Record and go, okay, let's bring out the big guns, if you will. Like, let's really clear this. But then we look at, you know, what are the patterns in your decision making that have set you up to keep reinforcing listening to the little voices versus your inner voice. And that's so much of the work that I do, you know, around that whole clarity, courage, and conviction.
Okay, so hold your thought. Elizabeth needs to make an announcement, and that's number one. And number two, I would like when she finishes, I'd like to really go into a specific example of what that looks like someone who did that, because this is all heady, right?
Yeah.
I want to get into the, you know, you're very very much like me. Let's go into the tangible, get our teeth into it, so we can really understand how that would transform. How someone who had that kind of a fear would be able to transform it, you know, especially if it's like an ongoing thing that keeps getting in their way. That would be really great.
Yeah.
Okay, Elizabeth, go for it.
Hi. Sorry if my line quality is not great. I just wanted to say that if anybody wants to call in and ask Chris and Reverend Dan a question, the lines are now open. You can either call in by clicking on the little Skype logo above the pretty poster or calling in on 646-668-2211. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Okay. And, you know, it's so funny that this is a conversation. I didn't get my easing out right before our call today, but it's going out right afterwards. But this conversation that we're talking about is really what I'm talking about in my easing, too, which is so funny, you know, this about using your intuition in business. It's not the same language, of course, but much of it is the same, you know, accessing your divine team, what to do, how to use them, so et cetera. All right, so go for it. I really want to hear, tangibles.
Yeah. So what would be most helpful for you, like an example of the longstanding pattern or just an example of how a person was not listening to their intuition necessarily and kind of trying to be, you know, trying to act like someone that they weren't and not understanding why.
I like the longstanding patterns. That's one that came up for me, although the other one sounds really juicy too. So if we have time for both, then let's roll.
Okay.
Right?
Cool. So the longstanding patterns, I'm thinking of a client who, had a lot of fear around being seen and tends to hide and tends to hide her voice. And so even though she had done a lot of her own work, her own personal work, when she came to me, we had already done her human design reading and looked at, okay, here are the places in your human design chart where you're gonna where you're actually natural at telling stories, but you don't know it. So a human design chart, if you don't know, it shows our conscious, you know, consciously who we are in the world and unconsciously. So it actually is one of the only things where you can, one of the only systems that I've seen where you can actually just see right there the specific unconscious patterns that are showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like I don't have to go into diagnostics, it's like right there.
Mm-hmm.
So we would see that here's an unconscious gift that you're not even aware of. When you own it, you'll be able to move forward, right? So we see that. And then looking at, okay, here's how you can express yourself more clearly. And then we went into the Akashic record and looked at, oh, at the soul level, here is, so I always look at things, I'll step back for a second. I always look at things as our design gifts and our design challenges. There are no flawed people. There's no, we've all experienced all of it. We've been the victim. We've been the perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
We have been all of it. And when you understand that we have a higher vibrational state of being and a lower vibrational state and that we get to choose which one we're going to show up as, the thing that happens is that when we have a longstanding pattern, what we tend to do is go to what I call our lowest vibrational habit. And our lowest vibrational habit is the pattern. And when you know what the pattern is, you can shift it. So for her, it was that she had had an experience in a past life where it was, you know, she was a singer and she was very gifted and got a lot of attention for that, and not in a positive way at all. She had been, you know, had some, you know, she had had some really uncomfortable experiences with, you know, a family member in that lifetime, abuse, and because of her, you know, radiance, and she was really fully in her full expression in that lifetime, and because of that experience, shut herself down, and then the pattern kept playing out like over lifetimes. So we cleared that there, and then looked at where was the pattern showing up in her current life and how could she start to make different decisions and show up in a new way, more fully herself in this lifetime. Help using her human design to help give us a roadmap, and then also having that clearing at the soul level as well.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Does that help?
Mm-hmm. It makes total sense. Absolutely.
Yeah. So instead of trying to fix it, because we didn't know what it was, right? Instead of trying to fix it and go, God, why am I not doing this? We went right to where was the first decision you ever made to shut yourself down?
Right.
Clear
right.
that decision,
right.
and then now all the subsequent decisions she makes can be from a place of freedom. She has more energy and room.
Right,
like that.
Right. So energetically it gets cleared up so that there is that space of freedom around any decision she makes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then in human design, we look at here's how you're designed to make decisions in this lifetime. And so here's how you're designed to listen to your intuition and make those decisions. So now...
Like an example would be?
Well, so some people are designed to listen to their gut. And some people are designed to just know what they want.
Right.
just
right.
like know
right.
it.
Got it.
Right. And some people are designed to listen to their emotions and actually get emotional clarity first.
Right.
And you know what that is, it just makes it a lot easier.
Oh, so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, that's my intuition. Oh, right.
Exactly, exactly. And, oh, that's how the pattern goes, why I go up and down and inside and out and freak out and get excited. And, and when when you know it and you go, oh, I'm normal. Because most people go around going, what's wrong with me? What's
right,
wrong with
exactly,
me?
Exactly. Normalizing is so helpful.
Right. Yeah,
having things be normalized for us. Yeah,
exactly,
totally.
Exactly, exactly. And then the other example, if you want me to share it quickly, I had a...
Okay.
So I had a client who is, you know, six-figure business owner, amazing woman. She just awesome. And she just, because she teaches about intuition too. She works with her intuition. And she had been really working so hard following the strategies of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And was burning out. I mean, she was just getting exhausted. She was brilliant.
I so relate to that, yeah.
Brilliant at what she does. But she was trying to do it the way her mentors had been doing it.
Yep.
And couldn't figure out why she would get to some level of success but then sabotage. And when I looked at it, I was like, well, you're trying, you know, she was a projector type in human design, and, you know, her mentors were manifestors and manifesting generators, and she was trying to keep up with them. Well, energetically, she can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked, I said, here, you know, here's the real crux of it. Start being more you.
Mm-hmm.
And it will work. And she
mm-hmm.
did, and it's so cool. Her marketing is brilliant now. It's totally in alignment with her. She's showing up in her authentic energy,
mm-hmm.
not trying
mm-hmm.
to be something and get things done in the way that other people do it, because it's just there's only like 8% of the population that are manifestors, true manifestors. Those are those people that go, this is what I want, and they go do it, and they make the rest of us go, what the heck? How do they do that? And it's so frustrating for the rest of us. But when you know how you're designed to get things done and manifest in the world, right? Just because they're a manifestor doesn't mean they're the only ones who manifest. We just
exactly.
do it differently.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and also when they start to tell us how to do it and we're going, wait, what?
Yeah, right.
What's wrong with me that I can't do that? Yeah, their way. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, here's what I find really true too, Anne, is that most people that are in this business and they're more spiritually inclined, like they're more, you know, sensitive, highly sensitive, empathic, intuitive, that they tend to be those energy types that are more guides, and they're not necessarily designed to go out there and change. They're designed to change the world, but not in the way we tend to think of
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
Like they're creating a movement, but it's a different way of creating a movement or a, you know what I mean? And so,
I do.
Right, when you really get that energetically, when a person who is not designed to create a movement tries to create a movement, it's weird.
It
just doesn't work, you know?
Yeah.
And then you understand how you can still create it, but do it in alignment with your design and how you're designed to do it, it just becomes sweeter and less frustrating.
It's so true. I know that when I walked away from my mentors a couple of years ago, I tuned in, I went back in to myself and tuned into what was right and for me.
Yeah.
And that was when my whole business transformed, like completely transformed. It took a lot of courage.
Yeah.
I will say it took a lot of guts to say, wait a minute, something's up right here. And I'm trying to keep up, like that client of yours, you know, I'm trying to keep up with them and their pathway and the way they're doing it, and it's not mine. And that, you know, that was it's so funny because I've talked with a number of different people since then who are, excuse me, who are intuitives, and they
they too had to do the same thing. There's this moment of truth where I think it's just a place where you do plant your flag and you do say, this is the right thing for me. And you begin to own it. You really own it, your own path.
Yeah.
Tell us about your free gift. I know you have a gift for everyone who's listening and people who will be listening to this later.
Share that with us.
I have a couple
fun things. One, you could go to my website, chrisprochaska.com. It's K-R-I-S-P-R-O-C-H-A-S-K-A. Nice long Czech name. chrisprochaska.com. And you can get a couple chapters of the book. And I think it ends up actually being like 3 chapters of the book. You can download that right there and check it out. I've been told that those are some of the best chapters anyway. So there you go. Actually, the whole thing.
Nice.
You can get that. So that's one thing that I'd love to share with the listeners. And then I also have something. I've been talking a lot today about that design, human design, soul design.
Yeah.
And I created a really cool training. It's called Align Your Design with Your Money-Making Model. And if they go to alignyourdesign.com, they can download that. They can opt in, access it, just put your name and email address in there. And it's a series of trainings where I unpack, what are those keys in human design, what are the keys in your soul design, and what are the keys in your business design, your marketing design, that actually when you get these 9 different keys working together, that's where it really creates that synergy.
Nice.
And I've found, that when for people who are highly conscious, who are intuitive, empathic, and that they really get that marketing and about who you're being more than just doing the right thing. It's about being the right you, that this is something that they just go, oh, my gosh, yes. Thank you for helping me to understand why following my mentor is, it's like the strategy can be great, and it just helps people to understand how they can begin to still follow the strategy. It's not about firing the mentor necessarily unless they're really not energetically good fit. It's more about how can you really get the most out of the strategy that they're teaching, and it's by being you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's great. That's really great. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome.
I think we lost Elizabeth.
Did we lose Elizabeth?
I don't know. Elizabeth, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, good. Okay. For some reason, I was thinking my little private chat says that you left the room. So I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm having technology issues today. I'm very sorry.
It happens, yes. And, Chris, we're going to put that onto not only the Divinely Intuitive Business Facebook fan page, but we'll also put it in our event, the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show event in Facebook as well. And that's so awesome. Thank you very much for that. I never did go buy your book, and I meant to. I was like, I need to go get that. And, of course, like coming up on this, I was like, shoot, I wish I'd seen the cover of it. And I know that you shared with me some time ago that you had put a dedication in there to me, in that I feel so honored. Would you mind sharing that, what that is? Do you have it with you by any chance?
Oh, yeah, sharing the what I wrote in there?
Yeah, because I never did see it. I would love to hear it. Would you mind horribly?
I don't mind at all. So I'm listing a bunch of other people in there, and I just wanted to say, and what I had put in there was that I was thanking my different coaches, and that for you I had put in there that you just helped me to really trust my intuition. I mean, to help me to discern.
Yeah.
And not be afraid. And
nice.
It was very healing. It was a very healing experience for me to come out of that other experience where it was like I'm learning all about, angels and my intuition and energy and lightness and darkness and all of that, and just having this very fear-based place. And kind of not knowing who to trust around money, around business, and then having this experience that you had really were, had stepped into not only owning intuition but also saying, hey, there's something valuable here, and it's okay to make money doing that, and it's okay to use this in your business in a very powerful way. And so
and look at you now. Look at how incredibly much you are using your intuition in your business. Like, this is just, like, you know, Akashic Records. I mean, seriously, that's total intuition.
Yeah,
human design, total intuition. So congratulations.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other piece of that, too, Anne, is that, I mean, my kids have taught me so much about my intuition. And I have two kids, and every time I had, you know, gave birth, it was like a whole nother level of intuition that just got upped and amped. And that been also part of the process of how can I use my intuition at home? How can I use it in my business? How can I live it? And it's a challenge. I mean, it's, you know, I say it's socially inconvenient to listen to our intuition because not everybody agrees with us, and they don't understand how we got it. They don't understand some of the decisions we make, because if it's not logical and rational, how do you do that? And so there's all these different fun ways that we get to explore intuition, both as a parent and as a business owner.
Absolutely. All right. Chris, thank you so much for being here with us.
Yes.
It's so powerful. We are so grateful. Everyone, take a nice deep breath in as we say thank you to Chris. Thank you to one another for being here, for holding the space, for connecting with one another. We are so grateful. Every one of you is divinely connected to one another and to the divine in all ways. It is up to us to learn how to trust that intuition, to trust and to get how we are being spoken to by the divine in each moment. And when we learn it, we are that pure expression of the divine in this world. That is what you have come to do, to be that expression, bringing your gifts to the world in a powerful, abundant, authentic, intuitive way. Take that in. Take that with you as we go through this week. We will see you next week. Go get your divine on, everyone. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Anne.
Thanks, Chris.
This episode of the Divinely Intuitive Business Show has been sponsored by the Divine Business Club, the only place where divine intuitives like you can get proven business building advice on how to get your sacred gifts out into the world and make the impact and the money that you want to make for less than $1 a day. For more information, go to www.divinebusinessclub.com.